This morning, we're beginning a new series, and we're studying Paul's first letter to the church in Thessalonica. And if you're looking for Thessalonians in your Bible, don't do it. Don't do it. You don't need it, because you'll understand the letter far better if you know the backstory. So we're going to be in Acts this morning. In fact, a few months ago, we studied Paul's letter to the Philippians. And Philippi is not far from Thessalonica. And Paul's visits to Philippi and Thessalonica are both part of the same story. They're both part of what we call Paul's second missionary journey. Paul and Silas had been traveling from town to town in Asia Minor, the present-day Turkey. They were just off that map to the right. There they met a young man called Timothy, who joined them. They had been planning to head southwest, down to near Ephesus. Instead, the Holy Spirit kept pushing them northwest. So they arrived in Troas. There they met Luke, the author of the Gospel and the Book of Acts. None of them had any idea why they were there. They didn't have to wait very long. In the middle of the night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in North Greece was standing there, pleading with Paul to come over to Macedonia and help us. Troas, where they were, was the port for traveling to Macedonia. Holy Spirit had got it right again. And so they found a ship and landed in Philippi. Now, although the call to Macedonia had come from a man, what they found was a bunch of Greek women led by Lydia, who was very rich. These women were worshipping Yahweh. After Paul had told them about Jesus, they became the foundation of the Philippian church. One day, they met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of them, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they've come to tell you how to be saved." Now, publicity is all very well, but it got on Paul's nerves. So Paul got so exasperated, he turned and said to the visitor, this demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And instantly it left her. Now, if you had a fortune-telling slave girl in Greece, you could make a lot of money. If you had a non-fortune-telling slave girl, you had an empty mouth to feed. Her master's hopes of wealth were shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. The city officials ordered them to be stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Now, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and all the chains fell off. The chains of every prisoner. And the jailer woke up, saw the prison doors wide open. He assumed all the prisoners had escaped and was just about to kill himself But Paul shouted to him, "Stop, don't kill yourself, we're all here." So the jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household." And they shared the word of the Lord with him and all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And they rejoiced because they believed in God. The next morning, the city officials sent the police to tell the jailer, "Let those men go." So the jailer told Paul, "The city officials have said you and Silas are free to leave. Go in peace." But Paul pulled rank. "We are Roman citizens. They have publicly beaten us without a trial and put us in prison. And now they want us to leave secretly? No, certainly not. They've broken the law. Let them come themselves to release us." So the officials came to the jail and apologized. Then they brought them out and begged them politely to leave the city before there was any more trouble. Now there were two directions that Paul and Co. could go after they left Philippi. That was the road through Philippi, a major Roman road, the Via Egnatia. It started in the east. Oops, wrong one. Started in the east in modern Turkey and finished up on the Adriatic coast. From there, it was a short sea crossing to Italy and then the Via Appia to Rome. All roads did lead to Rome in those days. Nowadays, the Via Appia to Rome is a footpath, but the Via Egnatia is now the Egnatia motorway. It's part of a major route, the E90, across Europe from Istanbul to Lisbon. Now, I sometimes wonder, looking at this picture, if all that wiggly pathway down the valley, to the bottom of the valley and up the other side, if that was the road that Paul and Silas went. Probably was. Anyway, they could have turned east from Philippi. They didn't. And it would have led back to where they came from. It would have been a retreat. And Paul didn't do retreats. So they turned west. And that's where they arrived. That's the same Via Egnatia in Thessalonica. It's now the main street. Luke's book of Acts tells it like this. Paul and Silas then traveled through the towns of Amphipolis and Apollonia and came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was Paul's custom, he went to the synagogue service, and for three Sabbaths in a row, he used the scriptures to reason with the people. He explained the prophecies and proved that the Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead. He said, "This Jesus I'm telling you about is the Messiah." There he is. Paul preached for three Sabbaths, but it was a mixed response. Some of the Jews who listened were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with many God-fearing Greek men, and quite a few prominent women. But some of the Jews were troublemakers, and some of the Jews were jealous, so they gathered some troublemakers from the marketplace to form a mob and start a riot. They attacked the home of Jason, searching for Paul and Silas, so they could drag them out to the crowd. The mob came looking, but they didn't find Paul. Not finding them there, they dragged out Jason and some of the other believers instead and took them before the city council. Paul and Silas have caused trouble all over the world, they shouted. And now they are here disturbing our city. And Jason has welcomed them into his home. They're all guilty of treason against Caesar, for they have professed allegiance to another king named Jesus. The people of the city, as well as the city council, were thrown into turmoil by these reports. So the officials forced Jason and the other believers to post bond, and then they released them. That very night, the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea. Berea, as it's spelt now, is the next town on the Via Ignatia. We can't get away from that motorway. Luke seems to have dropped out the story by this point. Whether he stayed in Philippi or Thessalonica or went somewhere else, we don't know. After all, he had other business to attend to. He had a book or two to write. That's Berea as it is today. I tried to get a picture that included the motorway. But there is a YouTube video, but it was all in a new tunnel. And 5 minutes of one motorway tunnel is like 5 minutes of another. Boring. Okay. Tunnel? Boring? Never mind. When they arrived there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. And the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. And they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. As a result, many Jews believed, as did many of the prominent Greek women and men. But when some Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God in Berea, they went there and stirred up trouble. The believers acted at once, sending Paul onto the coast, while Silas and Timothy remained behind. Those escorting Paul went with him all the way to Athens. Then they returned to Berea with instructions for Silas and Timothy to hurry and join him. So this is the situation. Paul is alone in Athens. Down here. He's come off the main road now. He's worried about the churches left behind in Thessalonica. Now, we don't think of Paul as a warrior. A warrior, yes, but a worrier, no. They did not spend enough time there. 3 weeks is not long enough to plant a church. I was involved in planting a church many years ago. It took us 6 years. Mind you, we had two false starts. The first attempt developed into the second, and the second developed into the third, the successful one. I was part of the leadership team for all three, and it was quite a learning experience, I can tell you. But we must have got it right, because the church is still there 30 years on. Paul was right to be concerned, though. Silas and Timothy, are in Berea. They're carrying on the work there. A message had been sent to them to join Paul in Athens. Silas is to travel directly to Athens. He will have heard about the state of the Thessalonian church. Information would travel easily along that road between Thessalonica and Berea. But to be sure, Timothy was to make a brief visit to Thessalonica to confirm what was the state of things there. He was ideal for this job. He was a teenager for a start. Teenagers can get anywhere. And his mother was Jewish, and his father was Greek, so he could move into both cultures without causing too much of a stir. So he'd be inconspicuous and be able to spy out what was going on. And Paul was still concerned, but relieved by what Silas had told him. So he started a letter of encouragement, a letter of encouragement to the Thessalonians. Partway through, Timothy arrived to join Paul and Silas in Athens, and his news is even better. And Paul not only encourages the Thessalonians, he points the way they must go in the future. And that letter is the subject of our next few weeks' studies. A letter which not only encourages us, like it did them, but it's a letter which shows us how to grow in our relationship with Jesus and with each other. A letter shows how the way to grow in holiness, in faith, and in love through living in the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to be focusing on for the next 5 weeks, I think it is. So I will leave it there and not trespass on the next speaker.